Welcome to the Midnight Writers Podcast, helping authors become better writers.
Episode
Star Wars Day!
Hello and welcome to the Midnight Writers May the 4th Special Edition. May the 4th be with you. I'm John.
This is Sith Lord Lena Johnson.
And this is Rogue Smuggler Ben.
And welcome to our show today, where we are going to talk about Star Wars. Because what else is there?
Well, on today, there's nothing else.
All right, so what's your favorite moments in Star Wars?
Oh, boy.
I hate to admit it, but I really liked the fight against General Grievous and Obi-Wan Kenobi in Episode 3. I just felt...
That was really cool.
I felt it was really cool.
How could you not like a multi-lightsaber lightsaber?
Yeah, battle? I mean...
Well, and it shows like how good Obi-Wan is, that he was able to withstand against four lightsabers controlled by this monster scary cyborg dude.
And it's like, say what you will about the rest of the trilogy, but that fight in the original trilogy, or the prequel trilogy, is just...
And he kills him with a blaster!
I know.
A blaster! Like,
okay, yeah. But it just the visuals on it were really, really well done, which I watched it recently, and it's just like everything else in that film just looked weird because it was all green screen. But then that fight, for some reason, was just different. It looked better.
I loved Obi-Wan's attitude in that fight because, you know, in the other movies, he's kind of been really reserved. That whole, like, fight, you know, if you absolutely have to, but more negotiate. And that one, he's like, come at me, bro.
Yeah, let's do this.
I love that just aggressive stance he takes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really
good. I think that's what made one of the prequels better movies.
Yeah, so. Definitely. That and by the end of it, it was done. He didn't have to deal with the prequels anymore.
Sith Lords are our specialty.
Okay, what was your favorite scene?
Oh my, somewhere between episode 1 and 6? No. I do really like the fight between Luke and Vader at the end of 6. Jedi? Yeah.
That's a good one.
I mean, it's really emotional where it's like he's, you know, Luke's trying to hold back, but then Vader keeps poking him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just unleashes everything.
It's what a father has to do, sit there and keep pushing the annoying button for your kid.
Well,
until he chops your arm off.
He wasn't using puns, but I mean. No, I agree. I mean, the entire original trilogy was building towards that because it's like, okay, hey, Vader killed your mentor, and then he comes back and he starts training, and he gets to the point where, yeah, he can take on the guy that killed his mentor. And so, but the lighting, I think, for me, was a really good part because you really had the green and the red, just kind of like good and evil.
Well, and a lot of shadows.
Yeah,
and...
yeah, just artistically, again, very well done.
Yeah, I was going to say the... right there after that battle when Vader turns against the Emperor.
Oh, yeah.
That is just awesome. And, yeah.
No, that was good.
I think it was a really good way to end the series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just it's tough showing him trying, you know, he's been following the Emperor all this time and finally getting to the point where he's like, you know, he's sitting here trying to kill my son. That's not okay with me anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it took him 6 episodes to grow a backbone, I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, and what was our worst moment in Star Wars?
Well, what was your favorite moment?
I just
said. Oh, sorry.
Just
said, I was paying attention.
Come on. So, worst moments. I mean, it's probably from the prequel trilogy. I think I've repressed those memories, to be
episode
honest.
1?
Yeah, I think pretty much, with the exception of maybe the pod race, all of episode 1 was...
No, the fight with Maul. That was good.
That was good.
That's
okay. Okay, so there's like two pieces, but just Jar Jar. I mean, it was...
Pretty much every scene with Jar Jar or Annie.
Yeah. No, because I mean, let's face it. Jar Jar was racist. Like, if you wanted to say that Star Wars was racist, that's your proof. Because it's like, I mean, he talked weird, kind of like, you know, this idiotic dialect. And it was just like, why even, there was, you know, as writers, we got to think, okay, every character has to have a purpose. And unfortunately, Jar Jar was comedic relief, but it didn't really, I mean, you could have cut him and the entire film would have been fine for the most part. And so it's like, yeah, you just...
Well, what about the fan theory before episode 7 came out?
Well, that smells stink-a-whiff.
Shush! So there, I don't know if anybody's heard this, but there's a fan theory before episode 7 came out, you know, because we saw the trailer where there's just this Dark Lord coming back. We don't know who it is, that it was actually Jar Jar. And then there's all these websites lining it out, and some of their arguments are actually not bad.
For, you mean for Darth Jar Jar?
Yeah, Darth Jar Jar being the Dark Lord in this new trilogy.
Well, I don't know about that, but I saw the ones for in their prequel trilogy of Darth... being, or of Jar Jar being a Sith Lord. And that I found incredibly interesting. Kind of the drunken master style fighting. And
oh, yeah, because he was always falling over the place. Right?
Yeah, but every single time he falls over and does something stupid, somebody dies. And if you look at it...
And it's like, not him,
there could be something to this.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they would have done that, because I would have had more respect for the writing. Because otherwise, if that's not the case, which it... obviously isn't.
Right.
Jar Jar is stupid and should not have been in the movies at all.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least that way it would have made sense that he was in there.
Right. Again, every character has to have a purpose.
Yep.
So.
And comic relief isn't enough for me.
All of it.
Of course. Thanks, Han.
We have a confirmation there.
Yep. Can't argue with that.
Okay.
What about either of you?
Oh, my worst scene?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I really hated... the scene with Anakin and Padme rolling in the grass.
Oh, God.
In episode 2. And a lot of the scenes of them alone in episode 2 just did not... if you're going to build a relationship, don't be so corny and stupid and just...
It was creepy.
It prefaced Twilight, practically.
It's like, it was just weird, and it didn't really add... I mean, there are way better ways to say that these two are falling in love than some of those weird
scenes. I did not buy the love story at all. I was like, I cannot understand what she sees in this kid. He's whiny, annoying, and pushy, and just, like, drools all over her.
Yeah.
Why? She's supposed to be this brilliant senator, you know.
So creepy.
Just, you know, super smart and everything, and she's falling for this stupid little kid.
Well, I think Harrison Ford said this in one of the earlier ones off screen. He's like, dang it, George. You can write these lines, but I'm sure as hell not going to say them. I mean, a lot of it, it comes down to the writing, and it's forced. And it's like, well, yeah, of course they'll say those lines, but they don't mean them. Because, there's not that connection with the characters. It's like, well, we have to get to here. We have to have, you know, a Princess Leia, and we have to have, you know, this. So
it's like it's predestined, so just make it work.
Right, exactly.
I'm sure they could have followed the books a lot better. So,
well,
or at least some of the fan theories and everything else that was out there.
Oh yeah, like they totally do that.
Well, I mean,
they did with Vader, and you know, the whole how Anakin turned into Vader. You know, the whole fight with Obi-Wan in the lava. And
yeah, yeah,
and that turned out pretty well compared to with kind of what we Star Wars fans thought was going to happen.
Yeah,
going into the movies.
But you think about it, and there are a lot of trolls on the internet, so they're not going to listen to everyone. I mean, there's the whole, like, Transformers thing. It's like, have Optimus Prime say something, and they're like, do a barrel roll. And I'm like, you people are not helping. So.
Okay.
Well, I have to ask, though, has anyone seen the holiday special? Because I've seen clips of it.
They have it on YouTube, and I started watching it the other day.
It's bad.
It was so weird.
It's bad. It's real. Yeah, somebody was on drugs when they wrote it.
I think that's the thing. It was made for TV, and TV back then was on drugs.
It's insane.
So
some of it's creepy, and some of it was absolutely pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just.
Yeah.
And they had Harrison Ford in on it.
Oh, yeah, no, like the whole cast was there, and it was just like, really? Okay.
I think they sing at the end too.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's one of those that's like, watch it once, so you know, but never watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't get through it.
There's an XKCD graph on that, I think,
I didn't like George Lucas try to destroy every copy of it or something, I heard. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not.
I don't know.
You can't be proud of that. I wouldn't be.
It, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I knew it was going to be bad, but I had no idea.
Yeah, the rumors are true. It is bad.
Just save yourself the trouble. Just don't even.
I got a bad feeling.
Oops.
Messed up. He's got a bad feeling. About what? I don't know. Maybe this.
About watching that.
Yeah.
Before I had a bad feeling about being called, hey, we're going to do a holiday special. I don't want to do that. We'll pay you lots of money.
Okay.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
They were probably under contract. That's probably how they got them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when it came out, like how.
Oh, it was like right. It was right after.
I figured it must have been.
Episode 4, because this was before they revealed Boba Fett, because the animated short was the first instantiation of Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's the only reason I watched it.
Oh yeah, well I've got that part on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's the part you only really need.
Yeah,
the rest of it, please don't watch. Mm-hmm. You'll need brain bleach.
Yeah. So speaking of other non-Star Wars movies, what about the indoor movies? You remember those?
I think I watched it when I was a kid, but I don't really remember it.
I guess I don't know what indoor movies mean.
No, there was a movie. It was like these little kids, like marooned on Endor with the Ewoks.
Oh, the Ewok movie.
And that little creature that could run really fast.
I don't remember that.
I don't think I saw those.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So we're helpful.
Because it was like, what, droids and Ewoks were like the two?
I just vaguely remember it. Yeah, so obviously it didn't have that much of an impact.
It didn't happen.
So
moving on.
Other Star Wars things outside the movies that you like.
Clone Wars TV show. I love that show. It's so good.
So like the long multi-season show, not like the short couple ones? Okay.
No, it's the one that's on Netflix. It's like 6 or 7 seasons.
Well, it's on Netflix now. It didn't originally be on, wasn't it?
Originally it wasn't, but the last season they put exclusively on Netflix. Right, anyway, that's how I watched it. But yeah, it takes place between episodes 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And I found the writing to be spectacular. Like, if they had those writers writing the Star Wars movies, right, they'd be 10 times better. It's so good. It's, like, unpredictable, but awesome. And I found Anakin to be a much better fleshed out character in the Clone Wars than I did in any of the movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's more time to explore the character at that point.
Well, I feel like they got it better. And yeah, I mean, they did have more time and they had different situations to put him in. But you could see where he's like towing that line where he makes some like kind of odd decisions, but they're like, well,
it was justified.
It's in war. Yeah. You know, it's like, maybe you shouldn't have done that, but you know, the crisis is over. You beat him. We're good. Move along. Yeah. And he's got an awesome apprentice.
Yeah, I started those, and I'm still in season 1, so.
Get going, they're so good.
Yeah, I've yet to begin, so.
Somebody made me watch this other anime, and it's getting in the way. Sorry.
I did not make you.
Roger, roger.
Well, for me, definitely the PC games were part of my upbringing in Star Wars, so like the X-Wing, the TIE Fighter games. Really liked Rebel Assault 2, because it had like cutscenes and like this whole story that went with it that was just like, it was really enthralling. I'm sure I go back now, it hasn't aged well on the visuals, but yeah, so like those games. I also liked the Shadows of the Empire on the N64.
That was an awesome game.
I liked that one because it's like, again, kind of like the Clone Wars, it kind of filled in the gap between two films to kind of say, okay, here's what's going on. And I mean, I wouldn't know anything about IG-88 except through that video game.
He sucked.
Yeah, because it's like he shows up in the movie for like 10 seconds tops as one of the bounty hunters. And he has like this whole stage in Shadows that was like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then also, so like the Lego Star Wars, of course, I like those, but I like Legos and I like Star Wars. So, I mean, what's not to love?
I hate the UI on that game.
Oh, yeah.
I can never. That's the only thing. If it wasn't for that, I'd be all into those Lego games. They frustrate me when I'm sitting there running into walls trying to figure out what the heck's going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
Alrighty. And I know nobody here has ever played Knights of the Old Republic.
I played it a long time ago, but
I played
like,
about
it was,
5 minutes.
It was like one of those.
Finished.
One of those LAN party lock-in type things. So, like, I didn't own it or whatever. I just played it a little bit. It's like,
what about the Old Republic? That's what I meant to say.
Oh, the MMO? Yeah, that's me. Yeah. I have been playing it since it came out, and I love it. And I can't stay away.
They had some really good stories in there.
They keep improving that, too. And that's why I stay, because, like, I don't PvP or anything, really. Mm. And I'm too shy to play with other people. So they've definitely made it really easy for people to play by themselves, and I love the stories.
So do you think the fact that the Star Wars universe is pretty well established, because we talked about Clone Wars and Shadows of the Empire and all these other kind of outside the movies, the fact that the Star Wars universe is so well defined that it makes making good stories within that universe actually easier, because you already have an understanding of all the concepts within it?
Yeah, I think there's definitely like enough information to work with that somebody could come up with a story, but there's still enough gaps that you could fill something in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the whole timeline, especially when you go back to the Old Republic, is thousands of years.
Yeah, oh, there yeah. is so much to work with, yeah.
Just shows what could have been better about some of the movies, I guess.
Yeah, but I guess like the Old Republic though isn't technically canon, because it it deals more with like the extended universe kind of world mm-hmm. and background that was come up in the books, but really has no bearing on the movies.
Right.
But it's like, it's so well fleshed out and it's so awesome. Why can't you use it?
Yeah.
So when you heard that Disney was going to be taking over Lucasfilm, what were your thoughts?
I was initially scared.
Yeah, cringe.
I was like, when I think Star Wars, I didn't necessarily think Disney. But as I started to mull it over and more trailers and other things started coming out, I was like, okay, well, Disney's really good at handling properties. So, I mean, they handle, you know, the Mickey Mouse and all the princess type stuff. And when it comes down to it, they really know how to make a profit. And the best way to make a profit is, of course, to make something that people would enjoy.
Yeah, because Star Wars was not making any money.
Well, I know. That's the thing. Back then, in its current status, it was just, you know, it was what it was. I mean, there weren't going to be any more Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I was really excited when I heard that Disney was buying it, because they spent, what, billion or something? They spent some ridiculous amount of money to buy this property, and I knew that they weren't buying it just to sit on it.
Right.
They were going to do something.
Oh, yeah.
It.
Right.
So I was like, Disney's buying it. They're buying it for a reason.
And we're Disney getting more has movies. Made good movies, so you know that they're not going to pick really stupid directors and make little dinky movies that mean nothing. Like, they're going to put forth a lot of effort, because they know what they can get out of this this franchise.
Yeah. So I was super excited when I heard that they were buying it.
Yeah, I was definitely afraid at first, but then like started thinking about it, going, that kind
of
makes sense.
And I think my fear originally was thinking back to some of the earlier, so like the early millennium of Disney films. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, they were the best and whatnot. But I'm like, no, they've done good to turn around since then, and they've really kind of.
Well, even like their animated films have gotten a little.
Oh, they've
gotten a lot better.
Honestly, they're better than Pixar now, but mainly because they've switched people around. So the people who were at Pixar are now at Disney, so.
Yeah, so what did you guys think of Episode 7 then, the first movie that Disney did come out with?
So for me, obviously I initially liked it a lot.
initially?
So here's the thing. As I think about it and mull it over, there's certain things that kind of bug me about it. Now, granted, I'm a J.J. Abrams fanboy, so it's like anything he makes is pretty much gold for me. But the thing being is that, okay, great.
We're doomed.
Yeah. Yeah. Initially, it was like, okay, yeah, like the visuals and everything looked really awesome. And hey, cool, there's all these neat characters that are new. But then I started mulling it over. I'm like, wait a minute. They just remade Episode 4, like practically shot for shot. Like, it's the same type of plot. It's the same kind of cast of characters. And I felt initially I felt, oh man, that's really original. I'm looking forward to what's happening. And it's like, well, wait a minute. No, this seems too familiar, because it was going back and essentially rehashing. It is like The Force Awakens. It's like The Force Reawakens, essentially, because it was essentially starting over. It was rebooting the entire thing, saying, oh yeah, hey, here's all this stuff in the background, and you know, we'll use these characters again, but we're just going to show you the same story that we've shown you before.
So the first story was really good. So if they can remake it and boost it, and if they're going to boost it, a lot of it's going to depend on what they do with the next movies.
Absolutely.
Because if they're just going to rehash the whole original trilogy, then yeah.
Then we're like,
if they're using this as a way to say, hey, we got something for the original fans, this is what we can build, and then we're going to launch from this into something slightly different.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really good move.
Yeah.
But if they're going to sit there and rehash everything, maybe not so much. But there's a lot of new stuff in here, too. I loved how they went into kind of give you a picture of how the Force first came about, how the first Jedis first came about with these Force visions.
Right.
Kind of instinctually instructing the you know, Rey of how to do these different abilities that, mm-hmm. you know, she may have heard rumors of, but that's about it. So I love that it is exploring how... something that we've never seen before in Star Wars.
Yeah. And I mean, I really liked that they kind of started integrating the battle types too, because it used to be in the previous Star Wars, you had your in-air battles and then you had your on-the-ground battles. And now it's like, oh, now they're, you know, in-air battles and on-the-ground battles all at once, all in the same kind of context. So that was kind of cool. And I mean, yeah, they did explore some interesting new topics. And I think my opinion on it will definitely be highly dependent on how they go from here, what episode 8 is, and from there on out.
I wish JJ would have stayed with episode 8, because I thought he did a pretty good job with 7.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Rian Johnson, I mean, he's done some good stuff, too. I mean, Looper was really good, so I'm looking forward to what he comes up with, because, I mean, he's got some good context of, you know, kind of the sci-fi and the visuals and, you know, character building and whatnot. And so, I mean, we could see some good stuff. I mean, he's obviously not as well established as J.J. Abrams is when he did episode 7. So, I mean, he's still got some room to grow. But, I mean, we'll see. I think time will tell. But just judging on the name of the director, I think we have a good shot at something good. So.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see the whole thing all together. I mean, like, yeah, we're looking at One Piece, and it's pretty awesome. Right. But I'd like to see the whole thing as a whole before I really, you know, settle into my decision.
Right. Well, it's like the trilogy I'm writing where, yeah, you can't take just one part of it because you got to take all three because it's this extended arc of something that's going on. And you can't just, you know, say, oh, yeah, I really liked the beginning of It's a Wonderful Life. But then I just stopped watching and and you never see the end bit where he goes.
Or just like watching like episode 4 and going, oh, that's kind of fun. But then you miss out on, you know, that ending fight at, you know, the end of Return of the Jedi, where it's like all these emotions just come crashing in. It's like everything's been building to this moment.
Yeah.
It's like that makes the whole trilogy that much more awesome. So I can't wait to see the whole thing.
Yeah. I only hope that they don't do what I call the trilogy conundrum, where it's like you start out with one piece it's pretty well self-contained, and then your second movie essentially begets a third. Like you cliffhanger the second movie that's well, now I got to go see the third one.
Especially you have to wait 2 years for that third one.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Not like 6 months with some of them.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
Is it just the years apart? That's the dark side? If it was light, we'd have them all like all at once, like Netflix stream on demand.
Well, I was going to say, the dark side being that when Disney took it over, and especially with JJ doing the new video or the new movie,
right.
He wanted to throw out all of the canon. What do you think about that?
That hurt.
Well, I mean, that's kind of his M.O.
Yeah, I know, right?
When you think about it.
Let's not talk about Star Trek.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah, which day was that? Yeah, that we're celebrating? Yeah, I mean, it's tough, and you really want to essentially pander to the fans. Like, you got to have the canon, because that's what they expect. You can't just throw out everything and say, hey, we're starting fresh, you know, here's a few ideas that are the same.
Everybody was hoping that the Heir to the Empire trilogy would have been the next episodes.
Yes.
Such a good story. I feel like it's such an...
I know. I'm like, you have a guaranteed audience. Unfortunately, everybody knows what's going to happen, but that happens, you know, with some movies based on books anyway. But still, that would have been so cool.
It's like Game of Thrones. It's like, how are you people shocked these books have been out for a long time?
That's because people don't read.
Well, yeah.
At least the people who watch it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. If they put Grand Admiral Thrawn in these movies, I would pay for so many tickets.
I heard a theory about Rogue One.
Yeah. It's not Thrawn, people.
Yeah, he wasn't
obviously a human.
He wasn't blue enough.
Nope. I saw that and I was like, but, you know, it's obviously a human, but, you know, he's wearing the uniform, so he could be a Grand Admiral, but it's not Thrawn.
Better not be.
No, he's not blue. He's got to be blue.
Okay.
So I guess I'll have to figure out what you all are talking about.
But have you read the Heir to the Empire
trilogy? No, I haven't. I haven't read it. The only Star Wars material I've read is the original script for...
Well, Heir to the Empire was commissioned by Lucasfilm to pretty much be like the unofficial third trilogy because they weren't going to be making anymore.
Right, with the Sun Destroyer and all that fun stuff.
Now, this one doesn't have that particular thing in it, but...
Wow, Luke's got an awesome beard in this. Goodness gracious.
That's not Luke.
Okay, well, kind of looks like him. Anyways. Huh? Oh, there's Luke.
Oh.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Luke at the end of episode 7. I mean...
Yeah, no, this book takes place like a couple, like 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, okay. So they could still do it, technically.
Yeah, they just throw it in there.
I mean, they're getting pretty good at CGI-ing characters in there. I mean, Tron Legacy had Jeff Bridges from the 80s.
I know, right?
You know, they'll get better at it.
But Timothy Zahn's one of my favorite authors, and it's because of these books.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I've heard that name before.
But yeah, Grand Admiral Thrawn is the... He's like this officer in the Empire that has been kind of out of the universe for a while, and he comes back in and starts pulling the Empire back together. Mm-hmm. But he's like a tactical genius. Mm-hmm. He's like a mix of like Sherlock Holmes and like the Nazi General Rommel? Rommel?
Oh, yeah, Rommel.
Yeah. So he's, you know, a genius. He's incredibly smart. And so they're struggling to outsmart this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a fascinating character just by himself.
Well, at least they didn't name him like Grand General Bad Guy. I mean, I will admit there are some pretty poorly named characters in Star Wars occasionally.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we can't have a Star Wars discussion mentioning episode 7 without asking who are Rey's parents, do you think? Speculation.
I don't know. I know everybody's been talking, it's got to be a Skywalker, you know, mm-hmm. He's got to be part of that lineage. And I remember my first thought when I was watching, I think it was the second time I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Rey, when she's having all of her visions, when she touches the lightsaber for the first time,
mm-hmm.
The last thing you hear is Obi-Wan Kenobi saying your first steps.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not paying that close of attention.
Like I said, second time.
I've seen it 3 times.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh my God, what if she's like somehow related to Obi-Wan Kenobi or something? Would be really cool. I don't know how. But
maybe she just congealed from midichlorians.
Obviously, because that's our go-to.
Or maybe that's what Abrams was trying to throw out as that part of the canon.
Or Obi-Wan did something he doesn't want to admit.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I mean, there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors, and what Abrams has recently said has a lot of people thinking that it's definitely not a Skywalker, but I don't know. You watch those films and you look at her. She looks a whole lot like Natalie Portman, who, of course, was, you know, essentially grandmother at that point. And so it's like, yeah, I could see that connection because, you know, it kind of goes down the line.
Could just be a teaser, though. I don't know.
Could be. But then my wife attests that it's definitely Luke's daughter because when they came back and Leia hugged her, she was like, that's a hug that you get from an aunt. And so... It, with that in mind, it's like, yeah, no, I could see that because
I hope it's not a Skywalker.
I know. I feel like it's just too weird to have it confined to that family.
I mean, it'd almost be too obvious to put it that way.
Yeah, I know the Star Wars movies have always been about the Skywalkers,
right?
But there's got to be other powerful, cool Jedi in the entire universe than just the Skywalker bloodline, and that's it.
It's probably Yoda's daughter.
Obviously, I mean, she looks like him. The thing that gets me though, it's like, you know. All the main characters,
short,
like
for a stormtrooper.
Like Leia and Han and Luke, like you can, they know who she is. You can see it. They know.
Yeah.
It's like, gah!
Which is why it's got to be somebody that I don't know, but
the thing that I love that this is the main discussion, you know, because I can't even, I mean, like there's not that many movies you come out of going, there's this one thing nobody knows, cannot wait for the next movie to figure out this piece of puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's mean that they did it, but I think it's great because everybody's going to be flocking to the next one and be like, who the heck are her parents?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one thing that was nice when we went to saw the movie with Kevin
Yes, Kevin J. Anderson. Just name drop, John. Just do it.
Well, when we saw, I was going to try not to, but when we saw the movie with him, he was talking about a lot of the people who talk to him get upset. They're like, how do you feel about them throwing out all of your canon and everything? Everything you've helped build is gone. And he's like, this is the first time we don't know what's going to happen. Let's enjoy it.
Yeah.
So no. that's the mysterious
cool. forward. It's probably the unknown child of Owen and Beru. But
now that would be interesting. If it was like a step.
Yeah, like
to Skywalker.
Yeah, but no known force connection.
Yeah, maybe it's Isaac Newton.
Wrong universe.
Oh, sorry, Grand Admiral Isaac Newton.
Nice. Okay, so Rogue One, are you excited?
Yeah. It's another Star Wars movie. How can you not be excited?
I definitely think it's got some potential. It looks really good. And yeah, I mean, it helps that you have enough of the story from just the original trilogy that you can kind of say, okay, well, what happened there? How did we get to that? I'm interested to see. I think the thing for them to really get right is just that look from the original trilogy. Because obviously the prequel trilogy, we can play with things to make it look kind of like, okay, it's going to evolve into the Empire. But Rogue One, you gotta make it look exactly like...
I don't know. I think it's going to look a lot darker.
Well, yeah. I mean, in terms of plot and tone, it'll be darker, but just the trappings.
Just getting like a flavor of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think so. Apparently, like I guess we've like the only thing that's out right now is a teaser, or is it a full trailer?
It's a trailer.
Is it a trailer?
I think it's a trailer. Yeah. Okay.
So you know, not a whole lot to go on in general, just because it is a trailer. But I guess it's supposed to be them trying to get the plans for the first Death Star.
Yeah.
The first
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think all of them are gonna die.
Yeah.
All the characters are gonna die.
Yeah.
And maybe get the plans to R2-D2. That's what I predict.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's kind of like Episode 3 was. It's like, well, okay, so we have 1 and 2. We know where they are there. And we know they have to get to 4. So there's a lot of things like, oh, yeah, this is how they're going to get there. So I think that's what Rogue One will kind of be. Like, you already know how it's going to end up.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be really sad and all of them are going to die trying to get these Death Star plans into Rebel hands.
So here's my question. So they've had these plans for 30 years. Why didn't the Rebel Alliance just build their own Death Star? I mean, come on.
Well, when's this one taking place?
No, I mean for like Episode 7. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I know.
Why do they just have...
We're like, better than that!
We could have blown up, you know, the second Death Star. And I mean, we could have blown up the whatever that planet was and...
Starkiller.
Yeah, Starkiller Base.
Starkiller Base.
Yeah, it's like, it's, you know, the best deterrent.
that planet drives me nuts, though. I mean, there's just so many things wrong with it.
Yeah. I think that's the...
Like, it took them 20 years to build a Death Star that's, like, a fraction of the size and, you know, is completely self-propelled and everything. And I'm like, okay, 20 years. Got it. And then the Empire falls apart. And then magically, what is it, 30 years later, 30 years later, they've got a planet. And I'm like, they couldn't even build anything like that in 20 years. It took them 20 years to get the Death Star to work. They have this working planet and an empire. How do they?
Well, it was probably, and here's my theory, Starkiller Base was probably a mining planet where they were mining the core of it. So they figure, okay, we already got a hollow planet. Essentially, all opened up that, hey, we can store all this energy. We just have to build the device that can suck the energy from the nearby star.
How does it move? How does it aim?
Yeah, that is the one thing that should have been just removed from this movie. Have a different...
It was so ridiculous.
Yeah, because...
Sorry,
no,
it completely changed the subject.
There's no propulsion.
Now, see, this is what I'm talking about. It's the same movie again. It's the same... It's like, it's a Death Star.
Okay. I know, I'm laughing because it's like, okay, we have Death Star 1. Scary. Death Star 2. Even scarier. Star Killer. Everyone's going to die. What's going to be in the next movie?
It's probably going to be like Killer a 2. Solar system.
Yeah. That's what I think. It's like a black hole. Like, oh, we're
actually,
just going
to suck
up the universe.
That would be kind of cool, to be honest.
I'm just like, you can't go much bigger. Stop it.
Yeah. Singularities will happen.
Make weapons that make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry I hijacked that.
Okay. One final question.
Okay.
What is the biggest thing you look forward to for Star Wars Day? May the 4th.
What day is it on?
The fact I'll have tequila the next day, but I don't know. I mean, I'm into it, but
it's on a weekday. I'm showing up to work in costume.
Yeah, it's like a Monday because
no, it's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's why we're doing this podcast. The podcast release on Wednesday.
Wednesday. Oh yeah,
I never pay attention to that.
Yeah, I just make them. I don't watch them. Get better at it though.
Alrighty then.
But yeah, I don't do anything, but I'm lame. So
Amazon has some amazing sales.
Oh, that's right.
For Star Wars.
I remember looking at it last year going, there's too much to choose from. I can't decide.
Maybe pick up Clone Wars.
They would have like hourly deals of the day or whatever.
I hate it when they do that. I'm at work. I can't do that.
Really?
Yeah. I got all kinds of stuff a couple years ago. I got the Blu-rays for like 50% off. And nice. I got this really cool Jedi book. It has the
Jedi code or something.
Yeah, and then it's got the tomb that opens up and lifts. It's awesome.
Oh, nice.
Star Wars is awesome.
It's pretty good.
Why can't we legally write and publish fan fiction?
I know.
Well, you can legally become a Jedi, but I mean, that's something else.
So anyway, thank you everybody for joining us with this geeky conversation about Star Wars, and we hope to see you next week when we continue our discussions on writing. Thank you.
May the Fourth be with you.
May the Fourth be with you. And also with you.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Writers Podcast. If you've enjoyed this content, sign up for our newsletter on our website, MidnightWritersSociety.com, where you'll get a lot more great information. See you next Wednesday.